Chapter 5, The Growth of Telepathic Rapport. I would like to point out that the use of words telepathically must be mastered as a preliminary step to the use of sentences and of thoughts. Choose a word and meditate upon it, knowing wherefore you have chosen it. Study it in the four ways indicated by Patanjali in The Light of the Soul, page 33. That is, 1. Study its form, study it symbolically as a word picture. 2. Study it from the angle of quality, of beauty, of desire. 3. Study its underlying purpose and teaching value and its mental appeal. 4. Study its very being and identify yourself with its divine underlying idea. When you have reached this final stage, hold your consciousness steady at that high point as you, if you are a transmitter, send out the word to the receiver or to the receiving group. Receivers should, in their turn, achieve, as far as they can, complete alignment so as to be responsive to all these four aspects of the word. This method will serve to shift the receiver nearer to the plane where he should function, the level of the higher mind. The word goes out upon the life breath of the transmitter. His lower mind then sends out the purpose aspect. His astral consciousness is responsible for sending out the quality aspect, and the form aspect is sent out as he says the word, very softly and in a whisper. The above is a good exercise and very simple. Telepathic power should greatly increase if one faithfully follows these four stages, up and within, down and without, in the work of transmitting. During the first or form stage, one may use what symbolic forms one likes to embody the word, for such a word as will has no appropriate form like pool has. One may, if he choose, preserve the word form, seeing it letter for letter, or as a whole. But one must be sure to end with the picture form, or the word form with which he began, and that he sends out at the close what he formulated at the beginning. To summarize, a group of disciples working in an ashram has to learn that, 1. Groups are held together by an inner structure of thought. 2. The focus of the externalized group life is the etheric body. The etheric body is A. A receiving agency, B. A circulating medium for energy coming from the mind, from the soul, from the master, or from the group mind. 3. The mind is the first exoteric expression of the soul consciousness as far as the true aspirant is concerned. 4. The following telepathic relationships are possible and must be borne in mind. A. Solar plexus to solar plexus. B. Mind to mind. C. Master to disciple. D. Groups of disciples to other similar groups. E. Subjective groups to objective receptive groups. F. The hierarchy through its great leaders to the various ashrams of the masters. G. The hierarchy to the new group of world servers. 5. The major factors which must be considered in all telepathic work are A. The initiating agent or emanating source. B. The recipient of the ideas, thoughts, or energy. C. The medium of revelation. The growth of telepathic rapport will bring in an era of universality and synthesis with its qualities of recognized relationships and responsiveness. This will be, outstandingly, the glory of the Aquarian Age. As the race achieves increasingly a mental polarization through the developing attractive power of the mental principle, the use of language for the conveying of thoughts between equals or of communicating with superiors will fall into disuse. It will continue to be used in reaching the masses and those not functioning upon the mental plane. Already, voiceless prayer and aspiration and worship are deemed of higher value than the pleadings and proclamations of voiced expression. It is for this stage in the unfoldment of the race for which preparation must be made, and the laws, techniques, and process of telepathic communication must be made plain so that they can be intelligently and theoretically understood. Disciples must occupy themselves increasingly with right understanding, right designation, and right definition of the new science of telepathy. mental comprehension and mental sympathy will make true interplay possible, and this will bridge between the old way of understanding thought through the medium of the spoken or written word, embodying that thought as the individual thinker seeks to convey it, and the future stage of immediate response to thought, unlimited by speech or other medium of expression. Disciples will endeavor to work in both ways, and the mediums of normal human relations and that of supernormal subjective relations must be studied by them and expressed by them. In this way, the time of bridging and the period of transition can be spanned. It will take about 500 years for the race to become normally telepathic, and when I say normally, I mean consciously. This bridging work must be carried forward by disciples in three ways. 1. By an endeavor to understand A. the medium of transmission, B. the method of transmission, C. the manner of reception, D. the mode of interrelated activity. 2. By the cultivation of sensitive reactions to each other and to the other human units with whom the lot of the disciples may be cast. This involves A. sensitive physical reaction via the centers to the forces emanating from the centers of those with whom the disciples are associated, particularly should the sensitivity of the Ajna center be developed. B. sensitivity to the state of feeling or to the emotional reactions of those around. This is done through the development of compassion and of sympathy, plus that detachment which will enable one to take right action. C. sensitivity to the thoughts of others through mental rapport with them upon the plane of mind. 3. By all these, done also in group formation as well as individually, all the activities mentioned above must constitute group activity. In these three ways, the vehicle of the personality can be so conditioned that it can become a sensitive receiving apparatus. When, however, soul consciousness is achieved or developing, then this triple instrument is superseded by the intuitional receptivity of the soul, whose inclusiveness is absolute, and who is at one with the soul in all forms. Those disciples who are working along this line are the nurturers of the seed of the future intuitional civilization, which will come to its full glory in the Aquarian Age. The intuition is the infallibly sensitive agent, latent in every human being. It is based, as you know, upon direct knowledge, unimpeded by any instrument normally functioning in the three worlds. Of this intuitional future age, Christ is the seed man, for he knew what was in man. Today, a group or a unit of groups can be the nurturers of the seed of the intuition. The cultivation of sensitivity to telepathic impression is one of the most potent agencies in developing the coming use of the intuitive faculty. The truly telepathic man is the man who is responsive to impressions coming to him from all forms of life in the three worlds, but he is also equally responsive to impressions coming to him from the world of souls and the world of the intuition. It is the development of the telepathic instinct which will eventually make a man a master in the three worlds, and also in the five worlds of human and superhuman development. By a process of withdrawal, of occult abstraction, and of concentration upon the telepathic cult, the whole science of telepathy as a seed of a future racial potency can be developed and understood. This is a process now going forward, and it is going on in two ways: through the medium of telepathic groups and of telepathic people, and through the medium of exoteric scientific investigation. The building of the thought form, which will accustom the race to the idea of telepathic work, is proceeding apace, and the seed of this development is becoming very vital and powerful, and germinating with real rapidity. It is, in the last analysis, the seed of masterhood.